From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. There are almost 30,000 people locked up in Illinois prisons. As recently as a decade ago, that figure was much, much higher. In fact, Illinois prison population peaked on February 9, 2013, when the Department of Corrections counted 49,401 people in its custody. The men and women who remain in prison tend to have longer sentences for more serious offenses. Then, the COVID-19 pandemic made it more difficult for people inside and their loved ones to see each other. For more than a year, in-person visits were completely stopped. Even now, there are still barriers keeping people from making those connections. Well, this weekend, NPR stations across Illinois are joining together to air what's being called PrisonCast. The program will run Sunday afternoon from 2 to 4. It's meant to be an audio experience that can be shared by people inside and outside prisons. There'll be requests for songs and audio, like this one from Illinois River Correctional Center in Canton. A man there named Webb wanted to hear the sound of a passing Metra train.
Electric South Chicago train number 318 to Millennium Station is now approaching your station.
I get that. My dad was a conductor on that line. There will also be recorded dedications like this one.
My name is Darlisa, and I am the mother of Isaiah. So, Isaiah, you and I have grown up in the city of Chicago our whole life, and I would always take you to the lakefront. And even when you were in my stomach as a teenager, I used to go to the rocks and just sit on the rocks and listen to the waves. One day, we're going to sit on that beach again, and we're also going to visit all the beaches that's all over the world. That will be us. I already have your travel bag ready, and I'm waiting for you.
The whole project has been organized by public radio station WBEZ in Chicago, and we're joined now by Rob Wildebohr. He's the criminal justice editor there and has been covering Illinois prisons for a long time. Rob, thanks for joining us today on The 21st Show.
Hey, my pleasure. Great to talk to you, Brian.
Yeah. And listeners, you can join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or tweet us at 21st Show. So, Rob, I just want to begin broadly speaking. What is the state of affairs in the Illinois prison system today?
That is a tough question. I mean, interesting, you point out, like, that's a huge drop in the population over the last 10 years, right? When you and I were out there reporting on a lot of this stuff, from 49, at the high of 49,000 down to 30,000 people in the Department of Corrections today. And there are lots of reasons for that, including, you know, efforts to decrease incarceration by activists, as well as a panel by in the Rauner administration, as well as the COVID stuff you mentioned. There's a whole lot we don't know, right? And this has always been the problem with prisons. They're hidden behind walls and fences. And, you know, government officials just don't provide very much accountability at all. And we can't see what's happening. There's little monitoring. It gets to this kind of social thing we have as a society where, you know, we think a crime's been committed. The police have solved it. They send someone away and that's the end of it, right? And of course, no, like that is the beginning of a whole long process in this huge and extremely expensive institution in Illinois prisons. But like when it comes to office, there's some real concerning signs still. And again, it's hard to see, but like with officer discipline, we don't know what happens with officers. There were some officers who were recently charged and a couple were convicted, including this week, of beating a prisoner to death. But it was clear in the trial and the testimony from the guards that this beating was part of a much larger pattern that just hadn't gone addressed. And just in the last couple of weeks, there's been an independent monitor's report. This monitor oversees healthcare in the Department of Corrections. And there's just horror stories of people dying needlessly in the Department of Corrections. And the stories are so extreme. I think the conclusion I come to from that is that that kind of extreme case does not happen without a larger culture that allows for, you know, slippage into that kind of extreme cases where the minor things are ignored and they turn into big things. Just one example would be like, there is a guy in this, and again, this is an independent monitor reporting on this, on the healthcare in the Illinois Department of Corrections. Mm-hmm. There was a guy who died. He had cancer. Medical records show he was on the floor one day covered in feces, and a nurse was like, I gave him some sanitation wipes. And then the nurse says, you know, reports in her report, like, I will, you know, we will continue to encourage sanitary, you know, hygiene practices, blah, blah, blah. And then he dies later that day. He was literally dying on the floor in front of one of the health practitioners in the Department of Corrections. And they didn't help him, and he died. And there's just so there that is unfortunately not a huge aberration. I've you know, when I was reporting on this, I'm an editor now, but when I was reporting on this, I ran into many cases like this as well. Super extreme cases where you're just like, how can that be happening?
Yeah, you had a series of stories on deaths. You know, you mentioned 10 years ago, as I was preparing for this conversation, it occurred to me that the last time we might have talked at any length was actually inside Vandalia Correctional Center when, thanks to your reporting on some terrible conditions there, the Quitt administration finally let reporters inside to see what was happening firsthand. I wonder how you've seen media coverage, the media approach to Illinois criminal justice and prisons in particular, and the conditions there, how that's evolved over the past years.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting you mentioned that. I hadn't thought about that for a while, but that's just another example of like, it's just, it's somehow the Department of Corrections thinks it's acceptable to not be publicly accountable for this thing, right? And governors have joined in that. I mean, Quinn, you know, was considered a progressive governor in many ways by many people and still refused access and then finally broke down after, you know, public pressure. In terms of the changes, I think what's interesting, I think, and I don't know what your take is, but I feel like there is more focus now on the collateral consequences of incarceration, right? As I said, when a crime is solved, we use the word solved, but like, of course, nothing has been solved there. Like, there's been a tremendous hurt and harm for reasons that are unaddressed by our criminal justice system. And we have this one lever we pull as a society, right? Okay, send them to prison. I think there's an increased awareness and concern about, you know, as we're thinking about, especially, you know, here in Chicago where the violence is so bad, and we're thinking about public safety. You know, typically we thought, well, public safety is locking people away. Now I think people are more thinking more broadly about like, well, if we want public safety, what's there are multiple, probably multiple paths to public safety. And if we lock this person up and we take them out of their family for the next 2 years, what does that mean? Well, it destabilizes that family. It takes an income out of that family that maybe increases the likelihood that in a lot of these families are marginal financially, right? So they may already be on the edge. And now you take an income earner out and there's all the costs associated with prison and cases. And now, you know, what does that mean for that family? Evictions destabilize communities. That is not good for public safety. So I think the conversation around that has changed a lot where in general the public is thinking about that more. But yeah, I don't know what your take is on it. You would know too, the kind of political.
Definitely. I mean, covering the state house, there's been a definite change from the sort of, you know, bills named after people that just ratchet up penalties. You know, I once heard the former Senate President John Cullerton say at a committee hearing that somebody wanted to raise something like two steps as a felony, like from a, I can't remember, it was a class four to a class two or a class three to a class one. And he was the chairman of the Criminal Justice Committee at the time. And he said, oh, well, we only really allow people to go up one step because then, you know, somebody else has something happen in their district in a few years. They're going to want to come up and ratchet it up again. And we want to give them like some headroom, basically. I'm paraphrasing. He was a tongue in cheek guy, and he was a very progressive guy himself. I don't think he liked this, but it was a very realistic assessment of what was happening. And I think that's changed quite a bit. All right, let me just remind listeners, we're talking with Rob Wildeboer, criminal justice editor from WBEZ. And the reason we're talking today is there's going to be a broadcast this coming Sunday, 2 to 4 in the afternoon, called Prison Cast. It's aimed for people inside Illinois prisons and the people who care about those inside Illinois prisons, those who have loved ones on the outside. How did the idea for this come about?
Yeah, so we did a, this was the brainchild of the brilliant Shannon Heffernan. She's one of the reporters on our criminal justice desk here. And she was also the host of the most recent season of our podcast, Motive, which people can check out.
We've talked to her a couple of times on the show here as well. Yeah,
yeah,
she's great.
Yeah, I know. You know, that was about dysfunction, all sorts of dysfunction in the Department of Corrections. And so we were reporting a lot on people in prisons and about them, but not for them necessarily. And so there was a project by someone in the state who's been active in prison issues for a long time, Lori Jo Reynolds. She had this project called
Tam's Your 10?
What's that?
Tam's Your 10? Was that one?
She was involved in Tangier 10. And then out of that came up with this project called Photographs from Solitary Confinement, which people inside could request an image. And then it was this collaborative process, but it was basically, you know, for them. And Shannon thought of that, I think, and then turned it into kind of an audio thing where, well, what sounds do people in prison want to hear? What kinds of stories do they need? What kind of conversations? What dedications would they like? And talk to people about, you know, people in prison staying connected to their families. Like, there's some advice that, you know, people in prison should try to find a way to do things with their loved ones, with their children. But that's very difficult with the separation, the physical separation, right? And so we don't overcome that here. But this is a thing that maybe people could do together, could experience together. In some ways, they're having a shared experience that, or, you know, over the wall. And, you know, maybe it's something they can talk about and connects them in ways that, you know, are tough to do, but we can do in radio, and especially with the participation of the whole public Illinois Public Radio Network. It's great.
Yeah. All right. Let's actually, we have another clip. This is an excerpt. It's a montage of kids laughing as part of the program. Let's take a listen to that.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
Did you have a good day?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi, I'm James. I'm her uncle. And this is Amaya. This is my niece.
My name is Daphne, and this is Scarlett. Hi, Scarlett. Say hi.
Typically, the easiest way to make him laugh is to tickle him.
Mommy, this is one of the kids. That tickles.
Oh, man, how do you listen to that and not have your heartstrings pulled on? Talk about what goes into putting that together and the call-outs that you all did.
Yeah, we, our engagement editor who worked on this, a guy named Al Keefe, you know, reached out to a bunch of organizations that work in prisons because we wanted to get requests from people in prison as to what they wanted to hear. And that was an example. People had said like, oh, I want to hear babies laughter or kids laughing. So we went out and, you know, I actually put that together and went to a daycare in Bronzeville and just ask parents to try and make their kids laugh. It was pretty fun. We don't do enough of this in the media, right, Brian, to put joyful stuff on the radio.
Yeah.
We're always looking at like conflict and where there's problems. Right. So it was a real pleasure to get to do some of this, but yeah, we got these requests and Al, you know, was in touch with many, many, nonprofits who work inside Illinois' prison system to connect with, people inside to solicit their requests and their ideas. And we got about 80 different requests and contacts from people inside prisons and their families, largely because these other nonprofits were willing to partner and help us with that and facilitate some of that communication. Because, yeah, it's hard, right, to communicate with these folks inside. You can't just go knock on the door or ask them to give us a call that easily.
Absolutely. And so, okay, we've talked about some of the sound aspects, some of the personal call-outs. There's music requests. I understand there are also tips for people inside about topics like mental health. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we, the Chicago Justice Torture Center, we talked to someone from there who had been incarcerated herself, and she gave some tips for like, well, how do you stay well? I mean, that's a tough environment to maintain your mental health in, right? And so for people maybe who don't have access to mental health care in there, which is, you know, a huge problem as well, like the mental health system in the prison system is also failing on many, many levels. So, you know, some tips for, okay, here are some things you can do to maintain your mental health. We also have a guy who talked about, you know, for parents, what are some tips for them to try and parent and stay in touch with their kids on the outside? How do you parent from prison? It's like nearly impossible, right? Well, what are some tips to maybe do that a little better or bring some creativity to that? So yeah. And then we also had someone talk about like, give some tips for when you're preparing for release, because obviously reentry is extremely difficult. And we know that 17,000 people come out of the Department of Corrections every single year. I mean, that's much lower than it was when there were 50,000 people in the department. There were 30,000 people coming out every year. So again, it gets to this issue of like, we as a society have historically thought like, oh, we solve a crime, we sentence someone to prison, we clap our hands, we're done. Great, problem solved. But that person most likely is coming back into our communities. So public safety in the long term, you know, might require something more and a little more creativity. And so these conversations are some tips for folks inside.
Yeah. All right. Can you stick around for a couple of minutes? We need to take a break.
For sure. But
yeah. All right. So we're gonna carry this conversation a little bit into the next segment. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking with Rob Wildeboer, criminal justice editor at the public radio station WBEZ in Chicago, which has organized something called Prison Cast. It's going to be broadcast on NPR stations across Illinois this Sunday, 2 to 4 in the afternoon. And it's a broadcast for people inside Illinois prisons and people outside who care about those inside, a way to create connections, a way to deliver audio for people inside of things that they may not be able to hear otherwise. We're going to wrap this conversation when we come back. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Stay with us. This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are talking about Prison Cast, a special statewide public radio broadcast this weekend. It's organized by public radio station WBEZ in Chicago, and we are joined by the criminal justice editor there, Rob Wildeboer. And Rob, before the break, this is, and I should just briefly explain to people again in case you're just tuning in, this is a broadcast aimed at people inside prisons as well as those on the outside, a way to connect them. There are dedications, there's music, there's sound that people haven't been able to hear because they've been locked up for a long time, maybe connecting them. We heard the sound of a train coming into a station on the south side of Chicago earlier. I wonder if have you coordinated at all with the Department of Corrections on this? Do you have any sense of how accessible this program will be to people actually in prisons?
We've leaned heavily on the partner organizations, that the groups that do work inside the Department of Corrections. There's lots of nonprofit organizations doing work. The Illinois Prison Project, there's a bunch of them. And so they worked a lot of the communication to get the word out yesterday or over the last few months. Yesterday, I was actually in a prison. I was talking to a guy and he was like, oh, yeah, no, we can get, you know, we have a radio, so we can get it. And he was saying he could stand in certain places and get certain stations. He was in Kewaunee, so he'd be listening to the Peoria station on Sunday afternoon. So that was his plan.
All right. And ultimately, big picture, what do you hope that this means to people inside prisons, their families, their loved ones, and maybe people who don't feel like they have a connection to Illinois prisons?
So it's a couple things. And there's so with the folks inside, obviously, as we talked about, I hope it's like a chance for them to have a shared experience with their loved ones to connect. And of course, there are for the general public, it's a reminder kind of our shared humanity. And when you hear some of these, like I've been listening, we've been mixing down the segments and trying to get them together and produce them. And so I've been able to listen to some of them you know, it just strikes you the distance between folks and like, oh, like when these folks are pulled out of their, you know, their families, their communities, they leave a significant gap in the lives of those loved ones. And I think you hear that in some of the dedications, you hear the longing and you hear the distance of people being separated. And then of course there are victims of crimes who, you know, may have a completely different take on this and may be very difficult for them some of what we're doing. I mean, we're very aware of that as well, and have tried to take steps to minimize that. But for other people, you know, who have been victims of crime, especially, you know, who have been victims of violent crimes, some of this is very difficult. And that's a really hard thing, too, for us to know how to manage, because we want to be sensitive to that. But we also want to recognize the fact that there are people, you know, who are human, who have done horrible things. And a lot of them say, like, hey, I did a horrible thing. I was with a different guy yesterday in a prison, and we were talking about what he'd done, and he'd committed murder. And he said, that is something I have to shoulder always. And his eyes, it was 2 decades ago, and his eyes started tearing up as he was talking about that, still shouldering that, but still also then trying to move forward with life and do positive things. And after 24 years, he's going to be released in October. And so he's, you know, really focused on wanting to help people and be a positive influence after what he's done, after he's in his life.
Rob Wildebohr is criminal justice editor at the public radio station WBEZ in Chicago. Rob, you and the team there do great work on this important topic. Thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st Show.
Hey, a pleasure. It was great to hang out with you a little bit again today, Brian.
Yeah, good to reconnect. And the show will be PrisonCast this Sunday from 2 to 4 on public radio stations across Illinois.